I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Ring, 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 ring. May I please speak with Zoe?
Oh, hello, Lamorne. Let's patch in Hannah.
God, I forgot what it was like working with you guys.
Welcome to our show.
For doing our show, Stephen.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm appreciative. This is fun.
Very fun. We've gotten to see some of your early performances. I mean,
welcome to our show.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having
me. Yes, we're so happy to have you here. It's so funny because I'm like looking at your resume and I'm like, and when you were on our show, like I was probably clueless, but like I didn't know like all your prior work, and then you've done like 8 billion things since we did New Girl. You are a very busy man.
It's either like 8 billion things or 3 things for a very, very long time.
Well, it's impressive.
Thank you.
And this professional wrestling stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that happened in 2015 where someone that was a fan of Arrow and his character that he was playing in wrestling was supposed to be like a supervillain, pitched an angle for me to make an appearance at Monday Night Raw at Nassau Coliseum in Long Island, New York. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course, because I grew up watching wrestling all the time. It was my thing.
Like,
I see a bunch of guitars behind you right now.
Like, oh, yeah.
It was wrestling magazines.
For me, it's wrestling guitars. So
there, okay, there
we're alike.
So I ended up doing that. And then when Arrow was coming to an end, Heels was starting up and there just seemed to be a natural fit. So I jumped right into that.
Yeah, but you literally jumped into wrestling. Like you've actually wrestled people in real life, not.
Yeah. Yeah, I have. I've been watching it forever. And you stay in good shape and you do stunts and you think that you can just do it. But now that I'm actually playing a wrestler on a show and I've actually done some training, there were just a couple of really good, quote unquote, celebrity appearances at the most recent WrestleMania. Logan Paul did one. Pat McAfee did one. Johnny Knoxville did one. And he was great, but you think that he's just going to be getting the, you know, what kicked out of him. But he actually had a really good match. And now I'm jealous because now I actually have some, now I actually have some chops and I want to get back in the ring, but I risk divorce if it happens. So
is she scared we'll you're going to get really hurt?
She doesn't want you to get brain damage. I think that's fair. Well,
it's the last time that I did a singles match, because you have all of this adrenaline that's pumping through your veins. And I did this one move where I jumped from one side of the ring to the other and I landed on my left side and I don't feel anything at the time. But then in the dressing room afterwards, I kept looking underneath my left hip like someone had put something there and I had fractured my hip.
Oh my God.
Wrestling is not, it's not for the faint of heart.
And your wife's like, now I have to bring you soup all day, every day and do everything for you. So thanks.
What I had to do actually, what I had to do was go right back to work because I didn't ask permission to do this wrestling match. So I couldn't very well come back and say, here's why I hurt myself. But no, it's more like, hey, you've done it. And please don't do it again. But but now I actually know how to do it a little bit more safely. So we'll see. I'll certainly have to ask. I didn't have to ask production permission. I will have to ask her permission. That's
right. That's right. Life in general.
You have your priorities straight.
That's right.
You got it right. So you're so funny on New Girl, by the way.
Thank you. Thank
so
you.
So much fun stuff. God. Do people like ever remember?
All the time.
Really?
Kyle? Okay, good. I'm so happy because, well, I'm not surprised, but I was just like, I mean, you've like have such a massive career as Arrow and everything. I'm like, do they remember Sweet Kyle from New Girl?
They
Sweet-ish.
Sweet-ish.
I mean, he had a lot
depends
of...
On his, he's depends not, on his state.
No, I didn't mean sweet, like, he's actually sweet. I just meant the sweetness of life that...
As you guys know with Netflix and right. I think was it the first season?
Yes. Okay. It was the first season. Yeah.
Right. So people get back into it, but what actually happens more often is people will go back and start rewatching it. I'll get these random text messages from people that I've known for a long time and they'll be like, "You're Kyle in New Girl." No way. And then they typically, and then nothing will happen for a little while. And then I'll get another text saying, "You just pissed your pants." And then nothing will happen for a little while again. And then I get another text back saying, "I love brown people," all in caps.
Oh my God.
And it's like, it happens. It happens all the time. It's a real testament to your show. I mean, there are people, believe me when I tell you, there are people right now that have never seen it, that are about to start like a COVID quarantine or like our home, you know, with the flu like Anna has right now. And they are going to pop onto Netflix and they're going to, you know, rip through your entire show. It's really cool.
That's a start all the way back at the very beginning.
Hannah wants to get into it for real.
I really do.
With the real
I love
details.
People's like New Girl, like origin stories.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's start at the very beginning. You're from Canada.
I'm from Toronto. Yeah.
You're taking it way back.
Yeah.
Well, way back. All the best people are Canadian.
Yes. We have a bunch of good ones. We have a bunch of good ones. You go through the OG SNL cast members and a lot of the funniest comedians that we've ever had. Jim Carrey,
husband,
Mike Myers.
My boyfriend. Yeah.
There you go.
Anna.
That's right. You.
Well, of course. There it is.
I'm the only non-Canadian here.
Yeah. Well, you're the view that I'm looking at right now, we're literally above you.
You are. You are above me.
So I always want to know people's New Girl origin stories. So do you remember when did you come and audition for it?
Yeah.
Like talk us through from the beginning. Yeah.
Okay. So this was a really, really interesting time for me because it was 2011 and I had a pretty successful 2010, but that was my first year acting in the United States. And I had had a good pilot season. I'd gotten a couple of tests and then I'd started to book guest star jobs, none of them recurring. And then in 2011, I became a regular on Hung on HBO. And that series came out in the fall of 2011, right around the time that I was doing your show. So I had a little bit of buzz from that, but we didn't know if it was going to come back. So HBO was very, and it ended up not coming back, which was fortuitous for me, but nonetheless. And HBO was very generous, and they gave me the opportunity to go out and keep auditioning. And I did something over the summer. I think I did an episode of CSI over the summer. And then I did a recurring arc on 90210, which, because of the casting director, ended up being a really important job for me. And then I was offered a part on Private Practice. And around that time, I went in and auditioned for your show. And getting that part, I can't remember what the sides were. I can't remember the audition very much, other than I only did it one time and, you know, felt pretty confident about how it went. But it was really important for me because I had not done any comedy up until that point. And to get the job was great. And I just remember my agency calling me up and saying, "You've got it." And feeling, I didn't know Hannah or Max or Jake or Lamorne, but I knew you, Zoe. And I remember being really intimidated before my first day of work, which was a Monday morning. And I'll never forget this. I'm a guest star. They had me come in at like 6 o'clock in the morning on a Monday. And I feel like we were shooting a party. It wasn't my first scene where you first meet me. It was more right. A party towards the end of the episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so the Sunday night before, knowing that I got to get up real early, I sit down just to try to relax. And I turn on the World Series. And while trying to relax, Zoe walks out and starts singing the national anthem. And I'm like, no, come on.
Like, oh my God. This was like right after. Oh my God. That was it. We all flew to the World Series.
Then. You did. And then you all flew back the next morning. It was game. Yes. I just looked it up right now to make sure that I wasn't having a fever dream. My God. It was that game so four of the 2011 World Series, and it was the Cardinals against the Texas Rangers. And not only did you sing the national anthem, but they did the thing that Fox does where they randomly showed you guys sprinkled in the stands, uh-huh. like you were planted there to promote the show. And so, you guys were very gracious. Oh, I remember the first scene. I feel like the first scene might have been when it was like a photo shoot, I think.
It was the most intimidating scene ever. Let me tell you about it, Steve.
Okay. All right.
It was the first time you guys met and you had to like make out, right?
It was exactly that.
That was the next, I think that was the next episode.
They send us to the World Series. Excuse my voice. I have the flu. So they send us to the World Series, which is like drinking, food. We're having like this great time out. And then Monday morning at like 7 a.m., they're like, Hannah, you have to be in a bikini to be an actor in some weird ad that they'd created I was modeling in, right? The after girl, the after picture of it. And then they were like, and this guy's going to play your boyfriend, Kyle. We cast him. And they show me a picture of you. And I'm sitting there like with like half a pizza in my mouth. And I just remember being like, I should put this down. If I'm going to be in a bikini in the morning. And then they were like, and
you can't eat pizza
gross
at the World Series. That's just,
it was the cruelest, cruel. You know, yeah. like of what they had to schedule for that Monday. I was like, really, I have to like behave this weekend. But I remember they were like, it has to be a gross kiss. Do you remember this, Steven? They're like, it has to be gross because it has to be right in front of Max and break his heart because he's going to give you a gift. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it was just like the weirdest thing. It's always weird to meet somebody for the very first time and be like, this is not a normal network comedy kiss where you're like, thank you very much. Half naked in this very awkward, over the top kiss. And everybody was exhausted from the World Series. That's right.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great. Hello.
I have to say, one thing that I notice about this character, Kyle, okay, and you, Steven, is that you are such a nice guy. And but what I love is you like really get what makes Kyle like an asshole. And you can you play those things really seamlessly as an actor, which is what makes Kyle so funny. And Kyle's not aware. Steven's aware, you know?
I appreciate that. I think back in, you know, back in 2011, and this was the case for a large portion of my the early part of my career. It wasn't until I really spent some time on set and was in more of a leadership position that I really got to know what everyone does, what the director of photography does, what the second AD does, what the director does, the dichotomy between a series regular and someone that's just coming in as a guest star, which it wasn't set up to recur from my understanding. But back then, I didn't know anything. It was just point me in the direction. And I was just, I think, lucky enough that I was comfortable enough to take direction. So I certainly don't want to take all the credit. I'll take the credit for being relaxed enough to do it. But I don't know my asshole from my elbow when I'm on set. I'm just trying to do a good job. And you guys also had that really cool, and I've got to experience this too. And it's amazing. You guys had that really cool, we're on a hit show glow about you that those early days. And, mm-hmm. and I don't know how the dynamic changed over the years. But I mean, obviously the fact that you guys are still friends and doing something like this suggests that it went pretty well, but you had that glow of, wow, we've just found something. And now it is something about you.
I remember
it was so fun.
It was so fun. I remember the first time you and I, Stephen, had like a real conversation, mm-hmm. and it was, we were shooting that Christmas party. So there was mm-hmm. a lot of waiting around because there was, you know, like a lot of setup and extras going around the party and everything. And we'd only had that one encounter before, which mm-hmm. felt just for me as a girl, awkward in my own body, not because of you, just because of me. So I was like, here we are fully clothed. This is nice. Now we can actually like chat and have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And you were Canadian and I was Canadian. And it was mm-hmm. my first time really on a set like this, too.
Yeah.
And I remember, and for me, you were like this big HBO star in my mind coming off of Hung. And so I was like intimidated.
Oh, is that true?
That was in my mind. I was just like, oh, wow. My gosh, okay. There's like this big actor here. And I remember talking to you because you were so kind and so generous talking about the industry and about the ups and downs of it. And I don't know if you remember sharing this with me, but I remember you telling me about, it had happened that summer, I think, with yeah. Catherine Bigelow and the Hurt Locker, right?
I don't remember this story. What was the story?
I thought there was a story that you were telling me that you thought you were up for it or you were going to get it or something was happening around the Hurt Locker and it had gotten, and it had disappeared. Now, this is like 10 years ago.
I mean, there were a variety of stories. I'm sure we told a story like that right before, I came close on so many things, a lot of movies. I had been flown to, you know, I had been flown to New Zealand to audition for the lead in Spartacus, and just so many things that were like within my grasp. And I mean, actors have those stories, but it was probably around the time that you lose a job, or you don't lose it, you never had it, but you get really, really, really close. And there's the hurt that accompanies it, because you've got to believe that you're right for the job. Otherwise, I don't really think you stand a chance of getting it. But then there's the secondary layer of hurt, which is when you start seeing the trailer for it or the advertising for it, and it just wallops you. It's like you go through that whole thing again. So we're probably having one of those conversations.
I feel like that happens like right before you hit a big job, you right. get close on a lot of others where it's like, oh my God, I was like this yeah. close. And I was like the second choice for it. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times jobs that I've had that have been big jobs for me, I was their fourth choice or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like now it used to be like, ah, that kind of insults me. And now I'm like, yes, I'm the one. Like, I'm glad all those people turned that down.
I mean,
but I feel
yeah,
like it's a sign yeah. that stuff's happening in the universe for you,
well,
you know?
It is. I mean, as I was mentioning earlier, that I had a wonderful time on Hung. And if it gets renewed for a fourth season and the ratings in the third were the best that they have been of the three, then I'm not available to audition for Arrow. And everything, that sliding door, everything about my career is different. Maybe it's better, maybe it's worse, but it's certainly different. So you'd think, wow, your first series regular, that show got canceled after your first season on the show. That must be an awful thing. Not really.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never know.
You don't know what's coming around the corner.
That's what you and I were talking about as we were standing there on set, which was basically, I don't know if it was like, maybe it was award season for Hurt Locker. So you're talking about that secondary layer of hurt was starting to twinge for you or something.
Well, there was another Catherine Bigelow movie going on at that time. And I don't know if it was necessarily Hurt Locker, but there was something that I really thought I was right for and that I had moved to another level for. And it's just, you know, sometimes there's no rhyme or reason to things. When I went in and auditioned for your show, I thought it was a good audition, but I had no experience with comedy auditions at all. I went to this guy, Chad McCord, who was an audition coach, not an acting coach, although he does coach acting, but he was coaching me on auditions and where, like how to walk into the room, where to find the joke in a guest star comedy, half hour comedy audition. And he was right. I mean, he coached me to That's do cool. the audition right. And so yeah.
I always say that I genuinely do wish there was like a handbook or a coaching school that's not just about acting here in LA, which is, let's say you book that, whatever it is, one line, two line on a show. You've never been on a set before. I just remember that feeling when they're just like, all right, so we're going to do a blocking rehearsal. Everybody get on their marks. It's a whole nother language. And then you're watching everybody just without even registering it, do it because they know the language. Mm-hmm. And you're...
Yeah, you need like a pamphlet on set etiquette.
Because you can't even focus on acting.
Oh,
you can't even focus on the thing you did in that weird room with the casting director.
It's nothing
where you made
like
choices.
Being on set, yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the things I always think about, especially about being a guest star, is you are at best, you are a cog in the machine. You're certainly not the engine by any stretch of the imagination. And it's your responsibility to show up on time, to know your stuff, to understand what it means to hit a mark, to understand what blocking means, to just to not fall asleep in your wardrobe and wrinkle it. Like all of these things that you never think about. And ironically, I mean, obviously you can't go there and be atrocious, but it's almost as though your performance is like seventh on the checklist.
That's right.
Which is an odd thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're not
there to do the performance, like, cause you're late, then performance doesn't matter.
That's exactly
But if you're just
right.
so in your head, because here's the thing, it could take one thing to bump you, right?
Yes.
Let's say you don't know about hitting a mark, or you don't know about the marks like number one, number two, number three, number four, and you miss one. And then you get called out because the AD is trying to race for time to get before lunch. And now you're so in your head. I've over the years on New Girl, you would see somebody who it was their very first job.
Right.
And you're watching them drown.
Yeah. And everything's good, except it's all held together by spit and hope and string.
That's right.
And they drop and they're doing a speech and they drop one word.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it just all falls apart. I've seen it happen. And you just want to grab that person and hug them say, hey, we're not going to run out of film. We don't even capture this on film anymore. If you make a mistake, go back to the beginning, start again. Nobody cares. We just want to put in a good day of work, but you can't say that. If we'd shot that first scene where you're doing that bikini shoot and I'd accidentally, bit your lip or something like that in our kiss and you had been not gracious about it, then I would have been we would have, that would have been the last that we would have seen of Kyle. I would have fallen apart.
I was actually saying this in another interview, but it's so true. I just think like getting in your head is like the biggest enemy of an actor. Like the thing, yeah. When you start to think, ugh, I'm doing a bad job, that's when you have to like get on another topic because that is the topic you should not be on in your head as an actor on set or on stage. Just move on. If you mess up, move on. The next one will be better, you know? It's just massively destructive to start thinking I'm bad.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You went on and became, you know, the star of your hugely successful show. Is there a way that you approached being number one on the call sheet when you had so many people coming and going off of your show?
It's a great question. What I tried to, as best I could, as an acting partner, be whatever you needed me to be. Because I had so much work on my plate, the way that I would prepare would be to just know the script from front to back, from top to bottom, like almost know everyone's lines, not memorize them per se, but just, I've got a really good capacity for knowing where we are in the story, what's happened and what's important from a continuity standpoint, to the point where I would have crew members come up to me and say, when you stop a blocking for a scene because of a continuity problem, it's really annoying, but principally it's annoying because you're almost always right. And so, but when it came to acting, it's like, well, what kind of scene partner are you? I worked with people that were, that learned their lines word for word, word perfect. If you gave them a revision before we started shooting, and I mean like the night before or the day of, it would really shake them. I'd work with people that worked more like me, which is more not improvisational, but I'm never word perfect. I like to be about 90% of the way there so I can find the rest 10%, to find the final 10%.
I go for 50%, you know? Yeah, the gist.
There it is. But no, I just try to be almost like, you know, almost like it's okay. Hey, it's my house, but you're my guest, and I'm serving the meal, and there's a bunch of different stuff for you to choose from. Choose what you want, and I'll eat what you're having, type of thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I mean, that's an amazing like being a guest on your show.
Yeah. But it's also an interesting conscious choice, right? Because I think there are a lot of actors that are like you, who are so generous in a scene and will never let you fall or fail. And if you're going a certain way, will go along with you. We know those people we've worked with. And I always have just assumed, oh, that's just how they are. And I'm so lucky to have worked with them. But that's such an interesting and lovely, you know, insight to know that you actually make that as a choice. You're choosing to be that type of actor. You know what I'm trying to say?
Like,
I do. That's wonderful.
Thank you. The only, I wouldn't say issue, but the only problem that you run into sometimes in that position is that you're going to be having plenty of exchanges with people that are in my head and then out of my head because I'm onto the next thing and it stays with them. Right. So sometimes I'll say something, or, you know, I ran into a situation where I kind of made a flippant joke when we were not even blocking a scene, but we were just putting the scene on its feet. We were just saying the words, and I made a joke while someone else was speaking. And just because, again, it was the beginning of the day and we were an hour and a half away from shooting. And that actor pulled me aside afterwards and said, "This is a really big moment for me and I've really prepared, and that I didn't appreciate what you just did." And I was very taken aback, like, wow, I certainly didn't mean any offense. And I apologize. And I always try to be more conscious of that going forward. But it left me thinking, and this is an answer that I'll never know the answer to this, but it left me thinking, how many other times have I done that? Like, how many times have I thought that an exchange with someone or a scene or something went well, and that other person, because of what it meant to them relative to what it meant to me, not that it's more significant or that I'm, you know, don't care about every scene, but it's just different.
Yeah, it's so funny you're talking about this. I have that same thing, because again, you are, so when you are the lead on a show, you are just busy and you are having to focus on a million things at once and think about the overall series and like also where the writing's going, like where your character's going, like, you know, working with a million different people. Everyone has different senses of humor. Everyone works differently. Mm-hmm. Some people love rehearsal. Some people hate rehearsal. Some people love it when you tease them. Some people hate it when you tease them. You don't know what you're walking into. And, you know, sometimes you just do something that someone doesn't like or rubs them the wrong way, or they perceive as intentionally unkind, but really it was just a joke to you, or you thought they would, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so like it's those things where I find it such a gift if somebody comes up and says, "Hey, that hurt my feelings," and they can be direct about it, because sometimes you just don't know and you're like, thank you for giving me the opportunity to A, apologize, and B, like, do better next time.
100%. I think this happened, the incident that I'm talking about, it happened 6 or 7 seasons into Arrow. It's like 6 or 7 seasons. And it was such a gift. And I'm able to carry it forward. But you know, there's no handbook for this. I gripped very, very, very tightly for the first couple of seasons on Arrow and was short-tempered, never to anyone and never disrespectful to anyone. But I just, my fuse would get short and I would focus on things that weren't as important, be it someone's cell phone ringing or buzzing for that matter, or someone walking in the background. And then I had the great fortune to go between season 3 and season 4 to film for 2 months in Manhattan, where nobody cares. Not that people aren't professional, but you're out there on the street and people are yelling your name and, you know, a million different things are happening. And it wasn't until I had that experience that I realized what a curated, cultivated, safe environment they had created for me on Arrow. And I went back and had this real newfound appreciation for the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's interesting too, because it's very few people I realize that we've talked to can share in the experience of being on a show for many, many years mm-hmm. and loving that show mm-hmm. and loving the character they played and having that tight hold and then having to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And have it be over.
Yeah. So I don't actually know the story. Did you guys, how did it all come to an end? Did you guys decide that it was time?
No.
Sorry. No. It wasn't so much that. I think that the way that our process was, like, I'm sure you got a sense of it being on set, like the first season. Mm-hmm. It was an intense process. Mm-hmm. And God, it was fun. I mean, it was so much fun. We had the best time and I loved every second of it. But we were working like 80-hour weeks for probably like the first 4 years. And then it definitely got better. But I think that the process of making the show was like kind of arduous. And it was just a bit, you know, we all had 7-year contracts. Yeah. And I think that it had kind of run its course after 7 years. I think we could have gone longer, but we would have had to have changed the process. And like, would it have been the same show? Like, who knows? But we were all having kids, you know, we all by basically almost everybody had kids by the life. I had a newborn and a 2-year-old the last season.
Oh, man.
And I was just like, I was brain dead. But I was actually, you know, this kind of leads me. I was just thinking about this when you were talking about like sometimes like the first few seasons of Arrow, you were like feeling like you're a little short tempered. Like, were you having to like also be training a lot? Like, physically?
I remember the videos you would post.
Superhero. Yeah. That is like so much work in addition to being a great actor and like learning all your lines and knowing your script and your story and like being number one on the call sheet, all that stuff. And then also having to like eat like an athlete and train an athlete, like that makes you're tired and cranky and you're having to shoot, you know, all the time too. That's a lot.
That process, I built up a little resentment through that process. And it was, in a lot of ways, it was of my own making insofar as in those first couple of seasons, when you're just running on adrenaline and you can work until 2 o'clock in the morning, but then get up at 7 a.m. and go to the gym and you can change your diet. And this was 2012 when you had to go to the deep recesses of the health food store to find gluten-free stuff. Now it's now it's everywhere. Yeah. But I never relied on the production to build the infrastructure that would allow me to maintain that. I simply did it myself for the first couple of years.
That's wild.
And then when that newness wears off and that adrenaline wears off and you look around and you feel like you don't have a support system, that created a little bit of a tough crossroads.
And they were like, oh, that's just Steven. He just does that thing.
He just does it himself.
Yeah, he just does it himself. So that's easy for us.
So did you, how did Arrow end for you?
Well, so in season six, I had a 6-year deal and then added a 7th year. And during season six, right around January, which isn't the halfway point of our season, but we would start in July. And by January, we'd be at episode 14 or 15 out of 23. And I called up Greg Berlanti and I said, I think that's it. Greg being the big boss of our show. And I said, I think that's it at the end of 7. And he said, please no, this is the worst phone call ever. Take some time and think about it. And I took some time and I thought about it. And I called him back up because he said, once I make these calls to Peter Roth at WB and Mark Pedowitz at the CW, I mean, it's going to set things in motion that can't necessarily be undone. Not that it was going to be contentious. It was actually quite lovely. But I thought about it and he said, just one caveat. He said, think about an 8th year. I said, no. And he said, think about a truncated eighth year where you come and do 10 episodes. And, you know, from a bargaining standpoint and from a restructuring of your deal standpoint, it was like, am I going to work until April of 2019 for X, or am I going to work until November of 2019 for X? And it was smart.
Like,
and it was, option B.
The second, yeah,
door, second door, please.
Thank you.
But it was good. It was good. You know, the last season was, because we got to end it on our terms, was this real long goodbye, and it was only 10 episodes. So
yeah,
that we really had a chance to think through it. Whereas in previous seasons, we have our North Star of where we want to get to at the end, but there's always a little filler that has to go into a 22 or 23 episode season. But it was really emotionally challenging. I was drained. I'd been on the hamster wheel for a long time. I wasn't as healthy, you know, mentally and emotionally and physically, as I could have been. Just again, it's those first couple of seasons, getting back to the beginning of this, where you have that adrenaline and you can just go and go and go and go and go. And it just, that candle started to burn down, and I could never bring it back up. So
you're drained.
Yeah, I was drained.
That's a lot to do.
Yeah, and
how
I,
many
I look
episodes
back at,
did you do? 23,
24? 23. We ended up with 170 episodes of the show.
It's very different, because it was funny. I remember, wow, I was envious of people who had like shows on, you know, streamers or like
HBO.
Cable. Yeah, who had, where they could do show episodes longer than 22, 35, which like our shows had to be like exactly the same length every time. And there was like no breathing room in the cut for like certain types of comedic moments that we couldn't play. And then I was really jealous of people that did like 10 episodes a season, because I was like, we had to do so many. But it's like, it is a grind when you're doing 22, 23, 24, 25 episodes a season. Boy, are you tired. And you're that's a lot of that is a lot of episodes. Like, to play a character for like 8 seasons or 7 seasons for that long, I mean, hundreds of episodes. I mean, it's like,
especially when that's physically demanding. Okay, as your Canadian sister, I have to speak to you like, just like out of a place of like, my heart is hurting, because you talk about that and your flame getting lower and lower and lower, because you're just getting burnt out from doing this really physically exhausting job and emotionally exhausting job. Bro, your next show, you could have been like a couch potato hanging out.
I know.
What are you doing? You signed up for a show where you're being a professional wrestler.
You said you're Canadian sister, and I thought you were going to say, how many bags of Hawkins cheesies did you have to eat?
No, I'm just genuinely concerned, because you chose another physically demanding show.
Well, a couple of things there. One, to go back to season 7 and season 8 and to actually look at my physical appearance relative to now is actually a little jarring. Like, it's tough for me to go back and look at it, just because everything was getting burnt out. And yeah, I definitely wanted to play a lawyer.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
On a half hour multicam. Yeah. But to what Zoe was saying earlier, we are, for this first season and for this second season, we're 8 episodes. I can do 8 episodes. I am still in that window of physicality, and I would like to also get into features and use that physicality as well. But that reminds me of the Arrow pilot. The Arrow pilot we shot for 3 weeks, and I had a month to prepare, and you can empty the tank on something like that, because you know on the B side of it you get to fill it back up. And that's led to for me having time off now and being a little bit more in charge of my schedule. I can do what I want to do on a job, and I can really, really, really go for it, which I get to do on Heels. But then I know that there's 3 weeks on a beach waiting for me. Or as is the case now, there's time in LA where I get to walk my kid to school and then take her to activities afterwards and do all that sort of stuff.
Okay, that makes me feel so much better.
Good, I'm glad.
That's just good.
Like, oh my gosh. I was like, we need to have an off-camera call, you and I.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
I have an important question, Hannah. I think you're gonna agree with me. Okay.
Okay.
You're a superhero, Steven. What superhero would Hannah and I be? Which superheroes would we be if we were superheroes?
Oh God. Man. Oh boy. Jeez.
I mean, you can make up one.
I don't know. I feel like both of you guys should exist somewhere in that new Doctor Strange multiverse of madness.
Ooh, we're there. We're 100%
I can see both of you. I can see both of you with a third eye right in the middle of your forehead and like 11 fingers on each hand and something weird like that. I don't know too much about that universe, but that's my gut reaction. That's immediate feeling.
Thank you, Steven. You validated us. Thank you. We're super.
Maybe we're like sisters. We're superhero sisters.
Yes, that would be so cool.
Hey. We have this story, Steven, where I auditioned for the show to be with Zoe. They wanted me to get a very, very dramatic haircut because I also had bangs and long hair. Because they thought that people would confuse
me. They were like, wait, she has brown hair and bangs. And I'm like, we're very different.
We think it's fine. We think people will figure it out.
Pretty sure people will figure it out. It's okay to have two people. That's like the short-sightedness of like casting, like from a very analytical place. Like sure. Brown hair and bangs can't have two.
Oh no! Well, they do.
Well, hey, can I tell you a fun New Girl story?
Yes,
please
tell us.
The second episode that I was in.
Yes.
Valentine's Day episode. That episode, we started that morning, Hannah. We started it in Westwood on location. Okay. And your production was really, really lovely and gave me dispensation to do this and worked with the other production because I was working on Private Practice at the time. And I came in that morning and I shot a scene with you. And then I got in my old car and drove to the studios just right by Warner Brothers where Private Practice shot a scene. And then I got back in my car, drove back and shot the scene where I was high on mushrooms and we were on the playground that night. I got to shoot two shows
actor
one day.
That is
I feel
very
like that
cool.
would never happen anymore.
I no don't think show. So. I mean, now, never. I mean, listen, even in 2019, maybe now, no. Well,
with
no,
COVID, COVID no, restrictions? Never. No, like, oh no. My God.
You were the last.
But that was, I felt that for me very much was like a, it's two guest star roles, which I thought were both very important and I think are, but I mean, to me, it was like I've arrived a little bit moment. Like, this is really cool that I get right. to do this. I don't think a lot of people get to say that they've done something like that.
That's I can remember cool. that scene when you're on the swing. Because we were also
you were
like,
so funny because you were like, woo! Like you had yeah. your hands in this yeah. like really funny thing and you yeah. swung into frame. That was so, yeah. that was very that funny. Was scene.
I just remember though that because we were the, you know, the show that was like the king and queen of alt jokes. Love the alt joke.
Yeah.
And you basically, as I'm standing there, are on this swing going back and forth and they're just conveying, shouting out. Alt lines to you, which are basically things that are all slightly racist or offensive towards me yeah. as I'm standing there. And I just remember being like, this is the one, because I spent enough time with you now chatting. You're the nicest, kindest, sweetest human. And I'm like, this is the funniest scenario where you have this really lovely man on a swing having to shout the weirdest stuff. Where I get to just stand here and roll my eyes.
I drive past that park every once in a while when I'm in LA.
Park?
I can't remember. I would just know yeah. it to see it. It was close to Westwood.
It's Holmby Park. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah. But let's also remember that I'm yelling these vaguely racist and they're getting more and more incendiary as more and more alts are coming. Let's right. also remember we're in a public park.
Yes.
And I'm having to yell these things.
Yes.
And yeah. Well, I knew we were protected.
Yeah, we were very protected. It was making a point
she set
of how
up
wrong.
Earlier in the episode that when you get really drunk, you yell racist things.
Racist. So
they were prepared. The joke was built in.
That's right. Yeah. That's why we knew there had to be an end to Kyle. Speaking of which, we're coming to the end of this podcast and we have a little thing that we like to do.
It's called Nick's Box.
Okay.
All right, Zoe, let them know what it is.
Welcome back to the segment where we crawl into the back of Nick's closet. Do you want to go there? I don't know. Pull out the memories that the cast and crew of New Girl have kept hidden for years. Stephen Amell, what's your favorite memory from your time working on New Girl? Tell us.
My favorite time from working on New Girl was the scene where I pee my pants, just because to the best of my memory, almost everybody was there. I think Ryan Quantin was guest starring on the show. And I was a really big fan of his. And mm-hmm. I just remember just thinking how cool it was in general. And hearing you guys talk about the World Series game.
that was such a funny frenetic scene. And then we had Mel Stevens, I think, played the ex-girlfriend.
You had another sloppy makeout in
Max
the New Girl.
Was that's there. Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Aggressive, yeah. Another aggressive sloppy makeout. Two that episodes.
Scene, listen, that scene lived on my. I haven't had to audition because I've been busy. I would love to get in there and fight for stuff again. I think that day may be coming soon. But that scene lived on my reel for a long time.
Didn't you also carry me out at some point?
Yes.
I probably. I think that possibly I should have watched the episodes in prep for this, but I think,
and you know what? You can cut this out if this never happened. I have a fever right now, so I could be making things up.
Was it Steven or was it Max that carried?
Max carried me out, but I thought there was a moment where Steven carries me out as well. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm completely wrong. But all that to say, it was that Max did carry me out in the scene, and I remember him putting a lot of extra oomph into it when he carried me out, and I don't know if in part it was because you were also standing there
and had done it with
Max. Max was trying to step it up.
Yeah, he had no trouble, but you know.
My favorite Max memory is I went to the Golden Globes in 2013 because WB wanted me to go, and because Arrow was a new thing. And I didn't want to go because I wasn't nominated or involved in it at all. And that led to a really, really awkward trip down the red carpet because nobody wanted to talk to me. And the only person that I spoke to the entire way down there was popping by and saying, hey, to Max, who was there. Like, hey, buddy, he was doing an interview. And I kept going.
You should have come and hang out at the New Girl table.
I should have. I was at the table with the entire cast of The Big Bang Theory, and they wanted nothing to do with me there.
You could have come over, hung out with us. I think we were also with the people from Game of Thrones. It was cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Did that show end up?
I mean, I should check back. I don't know if it was a big success or not.
One question, because you guys said it at the beginning, and I didn't know this. You two knew each other prior to New Girl?
No. I think he was just saying he knew of me.
He
had heard lots of rumors.
Stephen, where I say Zoe knows everybody. She knows everyone. That wouldn't surprise me.
I know a lot of people.
I'm doing this because I wanted to see you guys and because I like the podcast and all that stuff. But also, I'm doing it for full street cred with my daughter, who is one of the biggest Elf fans of all time.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. How old is she?
She's 8, and she's also into singing and instruments and stuff like that. So your part where you sing in that is one of her faves.
Well, tell her hello for me.
I will.
It was so nice talking to you, Stephen. Yeah. Thank you for taking the time. And we're so excited to see all the things you do next. I mean, your resume is quite long. It seems like it's just getting longer.
Yeah. Take care of yourself on heels. Okay.
I will.
Yeah.
You take care of that flu.
Yes, yeah. I know this voice. Wow. Wow. All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye, you guys. Bye.
You've been listening to Welcome to Our Show, a New Girl recap podcast. Welcome to Our Show is a production of iHeartRadio, hosted by Zoe Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone. Our executive producer is Joelle Monique. Our engineer and editor is Daniel Goodman. The Welcome to Our Show theme song was written by Zoe Deschanel, performed and produced by Zoe Deschanel and Pierre DeReeder. Follow us on Instagram at Welcome to Our Show Pod. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, you can email us at welcometoourshowpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share far and wide. Thanks for listening. We'll hear you next week.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.